Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. So welcome to today's episode, which is going to be a wonderful Q&A answering many of the questions which have come in over the past week. But before we start, Vix, who's one of the amazing team here, who's behind the camera, literally in this instance, after the embarrassment when we had Kimberly Gallagher on, who basically said that you can't have fake plants, it's an absolute feng shui no-no. Vix, what have we got?
We actually have this.
Yay! Look, we've got a real live orchid. I think what we need now is a vase. But we've got a real live orchid, so I'm going to have that in camera shot. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And looks like Vix has been doing some actual gardening. This looks like something that you've planted out from home.
There you go, that's a little Chinese money plant.
He might need a bit of water.
He does need a bit. He actually needs repotting.
Right. But yes, we've got... Right, we're going to get there. So this is a money plant. Well, this is great. Look, can we give him a bit of water? Bless his little heart. Now, the reason we've got money plants is obviously they're very good for business success, obviously. But also, they have NASA did a really interesting study on the best possible plants for producing the highest possible air for humans. But the money plant is actually one of the best ones. So if you want more information about plants and air, there we go. That's better. Bless his little heart. Oh, he's lovely. We can keep a little view on him, because Vix, this is going to be your pet project because she's here every day. So we could look, he's better already. So I'm now talking to the plant. Hello, Mr. Money Plant. So basically, money plants are really good, not only for attracting wealth and fortune into your family, but also giving you really, really good breath and air quality around you. So this is a really good one. So we'll track him. Right. So Kimberly should be very happy now that we are now planted up in the studio. I've got plants galore. And I have to say the energy is absolutely lovely as a result. But before we go into the nuts and bolts of today's episode, I want to talk to you about a really important subject, which actually Victoria Woodall and I were talking about in the podcast recently, which is hair saving. Thin hair is the bane of my life. I inherited it from my mother, who inherited it from her father. And it's not just me, because this podcast isn't really about me, it's about you. But hair thinning and hair loss and hair lackluster and basically hair issues is a huge problem in the 21st century. And we really do need all the help we can get. So Dr. Vegan have got a really lovely hair supplement. And believe me, I've tried them all. So I really, really have. And rather than you having to spend 6 to 8 weeks testing a whole load of different ones, just trust me on this one and try this one first because it really works. So they have got loads of evidence to show that 6 to 8 weeks of taking this hair supplement product that they sell has got really visible results on your hair. And it is the hair supplement that I like to take myself. Now, what are the magic ingredients in this supplement? Well, biotin, which is a very well-known hair supplement, but they've mixed it with other vegan ingredients as well. So it's not just pure biotin. It's a high-quality biotin mixed with SMN and anagen. Those are the key ingredients in this, but they've also got 14 ingredients in total in this hair supplement, and it's just fantastic. And the great thing is that within about 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to start to notice the difference. The other thing that I really love about these products is it's not just the quality of the ingredients and the fact that it's beating the ethical drum because it's vegan. They've also got fantastic quality of capsules, and the way that they bring the capsules to you is in planet-friendly packaging. And that's a really important thing because a lot of the supplement market is not. And then the last, but by no means least, aside from all the ethics that come with this brand and the high quality ingredients, it's the price point. They're offering you 25% off if you use Brindle25 at checkout. So those are some wonderful reasons as to why those hair supplements would be the ones that I would recommend that you try. So do let me know in the comments if you've tried them or if you're going to try them or how you get on, because we'd love to hear your feedback. And now we'll go to the rest of the episode. What we're doing today is these are the Q&As. So this is when I say to you, leave your comments and questions on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube. That is precisely what we're asking you to do. And I will indeed answer as many of the questions as I can. So the first question comes from Angela Fretton, who says, is myelin sheath the same as fascia? So it's not. No, myelin is a fatty substance and a protein, and it's like a protective insulating layer which forms itself around the nerves, which allows the electrical impulses to travel along the nerve cells. Now, what then happens is if that gets damaged, that will then start to slow down the nerve impulses. Now, fascia, on the contrary, is made of collagen. Okay, primarily. I mean, there's a tiny, tiny aspects, but it's basically collagen. And what fascia does is it supports and it stabilizes and it separates muscles and bones and organs and nerves and blood vessels. So it's like a web-like network of connective tissue. So it's not quite the same thing, but the nervous system very much flows through the fascia, just like the lymphatic system does and just like the energy system does. So they're very, very connected. And the thing about fascia, because I love talking about fascia, is it's also called connective tissue. And that is what makes it so important for us to understand, because that's the magical moment. Magic moments. Because it is. Because that's where energy becomes matter in the body, because the energy is flowing through it. And the fascia is a bit like coral reef. That's a Katie explanation. There's no explanation of fascia being coral reefs in any of the Chinese texts or anything Western I've read, okay? But this is Katie explanation. Imagine sort of coral reefs for those listening, I'm just flicking my fingers very, very gently in a sort of cooey kind of like symbol. And the thing is, what happens is it's just gently, vibrating like this. And then all of these other kind of more physical things are kind of flowing through it. They're slightly stronger and denser. Now, if the fascia get damaged, and they do, it's like the coral reef started to show global warming kind of before everything else. We're sort of looking at them going, what's happening? Because they're really delicate. Okay, that's why coral reefs are so important for us to understand. They're so delicate. So is the fascia. So the thing about fascia is if it gets damaged by stress or being over sedentary or excessive exercise or the wrong kind of exercise or repetition of movements like RSI, that kind of thing, the tiny, tiny waves or entry and exit points through the fascia of all these other little vessels to go through can easily, easily get blocked. And that's the problem. And if they get blocked, the fascia either becomes dry, and then it sounds like dry spaghetti when you hear it going when it's tense. Okay, it becomes like that, or waterlogged. And that's when you get sort of excess water in the body and you think, well, I'm careful that I eat and I go to the gym and nothing's shifting this weight, blah, blah, blah. That's what's going on. Okay, so it's an understandable question and a very good question. So hopefully that answers it. Alexander Hughes, Katie, end the debate. Does cracking your bones cause arthritis? Now, oh my gosh, this is also a hot debate in my family, because my son, who's a twin, endlessly cracks his knuckles, and my daughter, his twin, goes absolutely bonkers, and then he does it all the time to wind her up, and it's an endless family debate. So the general consensus is no, okay, it doesn't. But, she says, sitting on the fence, it's not a good idea to do it anyway. Cracking is movement of ligaments, tendons, and it's the release of bubbles of synovial fluid, which lubricates the joints. So regular intentional cracking can lead to issues with the tendons. It can lead to swelling of joints, and it can lead to repetitive strain injury and ligament injuries. And remember, I've just talked about RSI and fascia. So fascia doesn't like it either. Now, there's a really interesting experiment here. So a doctor called Dr. Donald Unger, he did this experiment over 50 years and he cracked on one hand only. Thank you, Dr. Unger. And he never developed arthritis in the other hand. Now, that's not a full-on scientific blind study, but given that Dr. Unger spent 50 years of his life doing that, that is a dedication to everyone else. So I think we should listen to what he's done. So it's not a good idea. And last but by no means least, Julie Silver Food Fairy says, thank you for a wonderful and enlightening podcast, Katie and the team. I just wanted to ask your views on cold swimming, ice baths, cold showers and keeping cold as Wim Hof advocates. Now, this is a really good question. Now, I have done a similar question actually in a previous Q&A, but cold water therapy is so important and so fashionable that I thought it was good to actually come at this question from another angle as well. So the thing about cold water therapy is this is basically where the body is exposed to fluctuating water temperature. Now, what that does is that will trigger natural self-healing. Okay, now this is a very ancient form. Now, the other thing to say about this, though, before we get too carried away, is that yes, it is an ancient form of self-healing, but in the olden days, most people had cold water anyway. Most people didn't use any water at all. And if they were getting clean, they were going out into outside water supplies because people didn't have running water. And that was likely to be cold unless you lived in a hot country. So it's a relatively new thing. It's only been really in the last 100 years that we've got the majority of people have piped hot water into their bathrooms and just naturally take warm showers. So that's the first thing to bear in mind. So the second thing is that the key to this is fluctuation. The other key to this is understanding your own health in the first place. If you're weak and you're not feeling well, it's not a good idea to just suddenly start plunging yourself into ice cold water. Now, I've been doing cold water therapy for years, and I got ill earlier this year. I got long COVID, and I've got a little sauna and a little ice tub outside with a little ice machine, which I use a lot. Pre getting sick, I was in that probably 3 or 4 times a week. When I got long COVID, I didn't go in it for 3 months. I couldn't face it because I was listening to my body, and there was no in a million years I was going to do that. Now I'm starting to recover. I'm back in it a lot. So there is a tipping point. And if you're not sure, you need to speak to your GP or speak to a consultant or an expert. It's not a good idea to start exposing yourself to extremes of anything. Start with what I call the pleasure zone. It should always feel nice. Start with your shower. Just, I always say, do the hokey cokey in the shower. Get your leg in. Fluctuate it a little bit. Okay, just a gentle, gentle shift and start building up slowly but surely. No one's taking your shower away. Don't start spending loads of money on buying some ice tub outside your house. The next thing that I did once I got used to doing it in the shower was I then started to just get, I went to Lakeland Plastics, and I bought like reusable bags of ice. And so I'm lucky my bath is separate to my shower in my bathroom. So what I would do was have a warm shower, and I'd just take this sort of, I take a bucket of these bags of ice and chuck it in a cold water, let that ice melt. And then I'd just, the plastic bags would just naturally come off, and then I'd refill them. Okay. And then I'd go and have a warm shower and go in the cooler water and then back again. And I did that for quite a long time until finally I invested in an ice machine. And then finally the whole thing went outside. But that was a sort of 3-year process. I didn't just suddenly sort of get a sauna and an ice bath and start jumping around. The other thing to say, it creates extreme vasodilation. So it's really good at moving the circulatory system and the lymphatic system. It's good for alleviating inflammation. It basically allows the body to kind of hypermobilize stuck energy flow and congested blood vessels and congested joints. And it's all the sort of the crud of the riverbed of your circulatory systems in the body. And it just really releases it in and out of the circulatory systems. I would say that the best place to start, if you're not sure, is have a look at the Russian bathhouses. Russian Banyas, B-A-G-N-A, has been a really thorough way of working with hot cold water therapy, which is very, very much entrenched in Russian history. And it goes all the way across Eastern Europe as well. They have got some superb bathhouses, and there are Russian bathhouses in London. I go to one a lot. They are absolute experts. They know what they're talking about. It is really interesting to go there and to try it out with experts. And they do these amazing things called perennials, where they put you into this hot sauna, and they have these experts, and they literally sort of, they gently beat the body with these beautiful birch leaf branches in very, very hot. And then you're going into the plunge. And I try and do that as part of my self-care practice whenever I can. It's what I actually do when I meet friends in London, as opposed to going out for food and drink. So, you know, in the old days, you go out and have a bottle of wine and have a meal. We don't do that now. Now we go there and we just sit there and sit in the sauna and go and have the ice plunges, and we love it. So it's always really important to inform yourself. So hopefully that answers your questions. And thank you so much for listening and watching today's Q&A. If you have any questions and you're on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, then do please put them in the comments below. And in the meantime, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and do tell your friends and family all about it so that we can help more people. Thank you for watching and listening.